Welcome to the Prepped and Polished Podcast, the podcast that empowers you to take control of your education, featuring weekly interviews with influencers in the world of education, as well as tutoring tips, lessons, and updates. And now, here's your host.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another Tutoring Tips episode of the Prepped and Polished Podcast. This is Aaron of Prepped and Polished. Today, we're going to be talking about how a student can get faster and more accurate on the ISEE exam. Now, I know some also know this test as the ICE exam. I prefer to just say ISEE, so bear that in mind. One thing that any student, depending on his or her grade level, can do is really take time to understand each section of the test. I tell each one of my students this when we first get started. That's going to be important to know how many questions are there in this section. How much time do I have? Occasionally, I'll figure out how much time per question, or sometimes how much time per passage if we're dealing with the reading section, for example. Setting up a strong knowledge of this will help the student recall what they need to do in terms of managing their time as a whole when they enter into each section. Now, this can be done through a number of ways, through simple memorization or writing it out on flashcards. Sometimes that easy review process will help them memorize it more easily and therefore not be surprised when they get into the section. They know exactly what the timing is and they're not sitting there confused or forget how much time they actually have. Another way to get faster and more accurate on the test is working on building what I call building up the foundational knowledge for each section. Now, how is this going to help? Well, there are certain topics and certain things you need to know for each section of the test. For example, the verbal section, though there is a synonym section and a sentence completion section, you need to build up the student's vocabulary. If a student doesn't have a large variety of vocabulary knowledge, it's a good starting place because if they are able to learn and memorize certain terms, it's going to be easier for them to traverse their way through the test for both the synonym section, but also sentence completion, because that is also asking them how they can use their knowledge and contextual evidence to answer the question. For the math section, this is also true. Certain formulas to memorize, how to show work, dealing with times tables or certain proportions, and of course, you might find this interesting, terminology. If a student doesn't know what product means or quotient, that is something to keep in mind that they might encounter when dealing in the math sections of the test. As well, for reading, it's important to have a student be aware of how to actively read in a passage and how to strategically annotate, underline, or take in information. And I also find at times that a student might need help on how to read the actual question and reading all the answer choices to understand holistically what the question is asking. By building up these foundational knowledge topics within the verbal, the math, and the reading, it enables the student to then feel more comfortable going through the test. If they don't have this foundational knowledge, it doesn't matter how quickly they go through the test, they're going to get questions wrong. So start with this. Start with the foundational knowledge and then deal with the timing. Now, to piggyback off that second point about building up foundational knowledge, I also recommend to students that we start small and build our way up. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean is you want a student to know how much time it takes for a certain question type. Typically, how much time does it take them to do a addition problem, a fraction problem, dealing and identifying tone, or simply recognizing synonyms or roots or prefixes in the verbal section? If a student can understand how much time they're spending there, then we can slowly build up more. Okay, it takes you 30 seconds for addition of fractions question. Okay, but what if we add on now shapes and area? How is that going to change how much time it takes. I always recommend either dealing with some kind of multi-content material, as the example I gave for math, or a varied difficulty of words and or sentence completion questions, so that the student can be experiencing not only finishing 10 easy problems in 2 minutes, but finishing 10 easy, medium, and hard questions in 5 minutes. They need to be prepared for that because they can experience this on the test. And also for reading, can't forget about reading, we want to think about how they take time to read the passage. And then introduce questions to see how much time it takes for questions, how much time it takes for reading, and how much time it takes for both. Now, depending on the student's ability, it might be a good option to start untimed, work on untimed practice, so that the student gets used to the questions. You know, just because they're able to do 10 easy questions in 2 minutes doesn't mean when you add on medium or hard questions that they'll be able to keep that same pace. Or when you start switching up content, or familiar and unfamiliar terms, or different types of questions for the reading, that they're going to be able to keep that pace. So usually when I tell students to figure out, and not figure out only, but work with them on figuring out how much time they typically take, then I like to give them a practice set of different types of questions or passages, or what I call a mixed bag, to see how much time they take without worrying about time. Sometimes a student might be completely on point with timing from the word go. That allows us to then avoid adding extra stress onto the student to try and keep an even pace. If they're already able to do so, that's great. And then, of course, the final point here would be to work on timed practice sections. And usually I would recommend a similar buildup. Start small. Work on only the verbal section. Maybe on only the synonyms. How much time does it take to do the synonyms? As soon as a student starts to build up that ability, okay, what about the synonyms and sentence completion? What does that look like? Okay, now the quantitative analysis or mathematics achievement. What can we do for that, for the reading? And then, near the end of the test prep or leading closer to the date of the test, I might end up spending more time on combining sections to see what does it look like when they start putting one section after another. That can also change how a student manages his or her time when we introduce an endurance factor to the test. And of course, I think this is pretty straightforward. It's good for them to actually take a full-length test, whether it's a practice test or if they're taking the ISEE twice in different seasons. It's worthwhile for them to experience what the test actually feels like. We can only do so much to simulate what that testing environment is going to be, but until the student sits down on test day and takes it, they might feel something completely different. So it's good to work on that practicing of time and accuracy so that when they get to the test and they might encounter unknown obstacles, that timing and accuracy is not an issue. So as a recap, again, we want to work on understanding each section in terms of time for the entire section and the number of questions. We want to build up that foundational knowledge for the verbal, math, and reading sections. We want to start small, you know, see that individual question, multiple questions, passages, and build up. Work on both untimed and finally time sections. These are all going to be helpful for any student taking, well, not only the ISEE test, but other standardized tests and tests in school. And again, if you have questions, please feel free to reach out to us at Prepped and Polish. We'd be happy to take a look at your son or daughter's or student's abilities, practice tests, set up a diagnostic to determine what makes the most sense for us to work with him or her on so that we can build up their ability for test day. This wraps up our episode number 239, How to Get Faster and More Accurate on the ISEE Exam. Please be on the lookout for our next podcast episode number 240. Thanks for joining us on the Prepped and Polished podcast today. Now go out there and take control of your education.
You've been listening to the Prepped and Polished podcast. For more information, check out preppedandpolished.com. Also, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening. Class dismissed.